This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Full Pull Wines.
Are you, Matthew?
Yep.
One of those people who walks into the wine section of your grocery store. Just a moment.
Someone is staring at you in personal growth.
Do you get in there and you're like, oh no. I don't know what to buy.
I get in there and then I get very confused.
Well, Full Pull Wines can help you. Full Pull has been sharing the stories of boutique Northwest wines since 2009 and offering those wines to members of their mailing list.
Yeah, they've got a warehouse in Soto. That's a neighborhood in Seattle. Their spring offers include Leonetti Cabernet, some small production rosés, and sparkling wine exclusively for list members.
And we asked them about what they would pair with enchiladas.
Yes.
Today's topic. And Full Pull's owner, Paul Zittorelli, unfortunately, we did not purchase his pairing suggestion.
But it's not too late.
It's 10:30 in the morning. But anyway, he recommends bubbles like cava for veggie and chicken enchiladas or Lambrusco for pork or beef. I think that's a great idea.
That sounds real good.
Bubbles for enchiladas.
All right. So go to fullpullwines.com. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about enchiladas. Sorry.
No, I love that.
How did you like my pronunciation?
I liked the vocal fry.
Oh, thank you.
It was very alluring and husky.
You know, I usually can't detect vocal fry. I usually can't pick it out.
Oh, you should get a little detector. There's probably an app.
I also had the strange experience of listening to a prominent podcast the other day and hearing the male host do a tremendous amount of upspeak. And usually it is not that jarring to me, but it felt very jarring.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
It was interesting.
Uh-huh.
Hi, so this is going to be a show about enchiladas.
Yeah, let's do a show about enchiladas.
Enchiladas?
Before we talk about enchiladas, we should let the people know that if the people are in Seattle, we're going to be appearing at, not appearing exactly, but we're going to be at
Book Larder. We're going to materialize.
We're going to materialize. We're going to apparate. We're going to come out of the flu with the flu powder. These are all Harry Potter things. I can see your puzzled expression. At Book Larder, the independent cookbook store in Seattle, where producer Abby works as the events coordinator. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be on Saturday, April 29th at 4 p.m.
Are you at 4 p.m. also?
I'm at 4 p.m.
Okay.
Also. This is in celebration of Independent Bookstore Day. So we'll be there at Book Larder, both of us, 4 p.m., signing books, talking nonsense, our usual.
Yeah, I mean, we're not recording an episode or anything, but just like come in and say hi. Yeah. I thought, you know, first I told Laura that I would do any time, and she said, how about, Laura, owner of Book Larder, and she said, how about 4 p.m.? And I'm like, great, I got this. And then I heard you were going to be on at 4 p.m. too, and I was like, what the fuck? You're trying to upstage me.
She asked me to do 4 p.m. because you were going to be doing it. I think that she's afraid to hang out with either of us by ourselves.
I would be.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's talk about enchiladas.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any enchilada memory lane?
Absolutely not.
Okay. My enchilada memory lane mainly consists of, and I was trying desperately to remember the brand name of the frozen enchiladas that I used to eat I think it might have been, oh wait, I think it was Cafe Mexico. I'm sure this brand doesn't exist anymore, or may have like morphed many times through different ownership or something. But it was a series of frozen Mexican entrees, and I loved their enchiladas. It was like classic, like microwave this tray and it's just full of delicious mush and you'll never figure out what's actually in there, but it was great.
Wow. I think that I knew enchiladas existed because I saw them on menus at Mexican restaurants, like Tex-Mex restaurants in Oklahoma where I grew up. And I think that I remember like friends having them for dinner at their houses.
Uh-huh.
But I never had enchiladas as a child. I think I probably had my first enchilada within the last 10 years, and I've never made enchiladas.
Okay, wait, I'm sorry. You mean you remember friends telling you that they had enchiladas?
Yeah.
Like, and you were really intrigued, like this was some sort of contraband?
Well, and I think I also, as a kid, I was very wary of spicy foods. Uh-huh. And I think I always thought Mexican food equals spicy food.
Which not necessarily.
Which is absolutely not necessarily. And so I think I was a little bit, I wasn't curious about trying things like enchiladas because I thought that it was going to be spicy.
Well, let me ask you this. Were there other like rolled or filled tubes that you liked as a kid? Like
no.
Manicotti or
except
cannelloni?
Except the bologna roll-ups.
Oh, right. I remember we talked about that, and then I immediately forgot it, and now I've been reminded again.
Just to refresh everyone's memory, this was a piece of Oscar Mayer beef bologna that my mother would spread with mayonnaise directly on the bologna, and then she would roll it up into a cigar shape and hand it to me, and I would eat it.
Something about spreading a condiment directly onto a lunch meat. Like really, I mean, I guess I don't really like lunch meat or condiments very much. So
well,
it's
it
like,
strikes me now in retrospect as a very like Atkins
paleo
thing. Yeah,
I think that's what the whole paleo thing is about, right? It's like you take a condiment, you take a lunch meat, you spread one on the other, and that's how people used to eat in the Stone Age.
Absolutely, absolutely, so accurate. No, I never had like blintzes. I've still never had a blintz.
What?
I've never had, what are other things? Cannoli? I think I had cannoli for the first time.
I really thought you were going to say canola oil.
I had cannoli for the first time maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What are other things that are rolled up?
No, this is a good question. Well, I mean like a burrito, but that's not really the same thing.
That doesn't really count. Yeah, that's like a sandwich.
Oh, no. As soon as you said that,
Dan Pashman is going to appear
in front of us.
Okay. What about, what are other rolled, you just named some off a second ago.
Well, okay, manicotti.
I've never had manicotti.
Cannelloni, which
never
I'm
had
not
cannelloni.
Sure if or how that's different from manicotti.
Never had either of these.
These are all good things. You know, they're all like a form of a casserole that, you know, happens to be have rolled up things in it.
My mother scorned casseroles when I was growing up, and so I lived a casserole-deprived childhood.
Well, but it's not, you know, I'm formulating this rule like as I'm saying it, so it's probably like both offensive and wrong. But I think you can tell a good casserole because it doesn't have the word casserole in the name. So like,
except
I mean, enchiladas are certainly a casserole in that they're baked in a casserole dish and covered with sauce.
Okay,
and stuff.
But hold on now. Yeah? Tuna noodle casserole is such a delicious thing.
I would
gosh, it is so delicious. And you can't call it anything but tuna noodle casserole.
That pushes so many bad buttons for me.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't really like
turkey
canned
tetrazzini.
Tuna.
Isn't that a casserole-ish?
Yeah, but that doesn't have casserole in the name.
It's true, but tuna noodle casserole. Oh, dude, let me loose on a pan of that.
Okay, we can do an episode on that.
I thought
sometime.
We had. I've never made it.
We did a canned tuna episode, but I don't think I've ever had tuna noodle casserole. It's
just
a thing I think I won't
Let's
like.
Let's do an episode on it because I would love to make it for the first time in my life, and I think my kid would love it. June is a tuna salad fiend.
Okay. Of all the things that your kid eats, that's the one that impresses me the most because
I hate tuna salad,
and I hated it as a kid also.
She loves to taste it and tell me if there's enough mayonnaise in it.
Oh, my God. That is so cute and so gross.
So anyway.
Guess what? Before you put any mayonnaise in, there's enough mayonnaise in it.
So, yeah, enchiladas. I've never made them. I think I've probably eaten them less than six times.
But you added, so like, the enchiladas you ate today may constitute like 20% of all the enchiladas you've ever eaten.
Yes, exactly. Wow. Exactly. However, now as an adult, like last month, my girlfriend and I went to Palm Springs for a couple days, and we went to
a mini break,
a little mini break, and we went to this Mexican restaurant in a strip mall, and it was super delicious. And right away, I saw the word chicken enchilada with like green sauce on the menu, and I was like, that is what I'm getting.
Oh, yes.
I've had this like enchilada conversion as an adult.
Well, and something about, and I know like I'm not among the first million people to make this observation, but like taking a tortilla and having it soaked with a chili based sauce, which is what and enchilada means.
Wrapping it around like a meaty thing and putting cheese on it.
You know what? Something that's so
what
cool.
What could go wrong?
Something that is so cool about enchiladas. I mean, you and I are arbiters of what is and is not cool, right?
Absolutely.
We're like cool hunters.
Yeah.
And one of an instance of cool that I just realized. Yes.
Okay.
Is that like a lot of things that we like, both you and I and like American society in general, is like things that are crispy. And enchiladas are just the opposite of that. There's like
there's no crisp.
There's no crisp. And like, you know, there might be a little chewiness to the filling. But often, like if they're cheese enchiladas, none. It's like, you know, pure, like creamy, saucy goodness.
You know, I would say, actually, I don't often think about wanting a particularly crunchy texture on things.
Okay.
Like
you're the only one.
I don't ever really find myself drawn to like the crunchy corner of lasagna or
brownie. We did a whole episode called Crusty Quarters about how much we loved crusty quarters.
I think I was lying.
Okay, what other deceptions have you been
pulling? Really, I'll have to go back and listen to that episode, because I think that episode was the first time that I had really considered crusty corners as a delicacy.
I think we're going to play that episode at the trial for the perjury
trial. So talk to me about this. So enchilada,
no, you're going to have to recuse yourself.
So enchilada, like, does it really refer to the act of like impregnating this tortilla with chili sauce?
Yes, it refers to the act of impregnating. Yeah, like you know, and if you were going to translate enchilada to English, you might say chillified.
Chillified. And so let me get this right. You take a corn tortilla.
Yep.
Okay. And do you like dredge it in like a?
Okay, so there are a lot of ways to do this.
Okay.
So first off, yeah, I mean it's. You could make enchiladas with something other than corn tortillas. I don't think I've ever seen it done, and it doesn't seem like a good idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm saying that as someone who loves flour tortillas.
It would get really dummy. Yeah. I love a flour tortilla, too.
So usually you need to do something to like warm up and maybe add a little fat to the tortillas first. So like classically, you like heat a pan of oil and like fry each tortilla for a few seconds in the oil.
Okay.
That is really tedious. So usually what I do, which works almost as well, is like brush them with oil and bake them in the oven for a few minutes, and then they get soft, so they won't like, you know, it improves the flavor and it means they won't fall apart when you're rolling them.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're not like crisping them. You're just warming them, and like maybe they soak in the oil and get pliant.
Oh, yes. Yes,
ready to be impregnated.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's a very
supple.
Sensuous process.
Supple.
Yeah, like there's a lot of suppleness and pliancy. If you and the tortilla aren't in like a good mental space, then the procedure might and like it's very romantic to refer to it as a procedure.
Anyway, okay. So you,
in addition to being cool hunters, we're experts in romance, especially me.
So anyway, you get some oil on it, you warm it up somehow, and then do you kind of dredge it?
I'm not envisioning a tortilla while you say this.
do you roll it in sauce, or do you roll it in the stuff and put the sauce over it?
So. Usually, I will roll the naked tortilla, roll the stuff in it, and then drizzle the sauce over. Like, put some sauce on the bottom of the pan, roll up the tortillas with the filling, put them in the pan, and then like pour a bunch of sauce over and spread it with a spatula, so every tortilla, every square inch of tortilla gets impregnated.
And then you put cheese on top of that.
But definitely, there are other recipes. Like, there are some, they're non-baked enchiladas, which there's a Rick Bayless recipe that I think we're going to link to that are like for like spinach enchiladas where you really just dip the tortilla in the chili sauce, roll it up with the filling and like put it on a plate and garnish it and it's ready to go.
Wow.
It's good.
Interesting.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
That's right. My bra brought to you this episode. It's back and it's better than ever.
I understand that finding the perfect fitting bra can make your day.
It really can
be the difference between a great day and a garbage day.
I have to say that I have recently had the experience of purchasing a bra that was kind of like just itchy, sort of uncomfortable. And I had never before known that feeling of like, I can't wait to get home and take my bra off. But now I have. And it makes me appreciate Third Love all the more because I never think about that when I'm wearing my Third Love bra. In fact, I never even think about my bra period when I'm wearing my Third Love bra. And that to me is the sign of a great brassiere, as my father used to call them.
So would you say, do you ever experience things
weird
like...
that I just quoted what my dad used to call bras?
That was very strange. I want to just like zip right past that and never talk about it again.
Yeah, he used to always say like brassiere.
Like every day?
Well, yeah, I'd just come into the room and he'd be like, brassiere.
It was his all-purpose greeting.
Yeah.
Would you say, does your Third Love bra ever suffer from things like slipping straps or side overflow or any other common bra issues?
Absolutely not. I feel like I'm in a doctor's appointment. Do you suffer from any of the following issues?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do a differential diagnosis.
Okay.
And we have diagnosed you with perfect fit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So listener, if you would like to have the bra experience that I'm currently having, Third Love makes it really easy for you to do that risk-free. Don't I sound like I'm in some sort of telemercial?
Yes. You sound like you're in a telemercial.
What's that?
I just love telemercials.
Anyway.
It's like a commercial that's on television.
Here's what you do. You go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. You pick out a bra from their 24/7 t-shirt collection. You pay $2.99 for shipping. You pay nothing else for the first 30 days. You just get to wear this bra. You get to enjoy it. You get to feel the way I feel today. If you like it, keep it. They'll charge your card. If you don't like it, send it back and you are charged nothing further.
So that's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. And I think that was a pretty good telemercial.
Thanks.
What I made today was green. So enchiladas usually come in like a green or red variety. This I may be speaking like in a Tex-Mex, New Mexican context. But definitely there's like real Mexican enchiladas that are, a green chili version, a red chili version.
Do you have a preference?
On the whole, so I'm glad you asked, because did we do a Tomatillo episode? I don't think we did.
I don't know if we did either.
But
that doesn't sound familiar.
I think Tomatillo's I don't want to make it like
oh my God,
nobody
what are
uses
you
these
about
things.
To say? This is really this. It's taking you a long time to come out with this.
Okay, if you are not a cook of a Mexican background or another culture that uses tomatillos widely, probably these to you are the most underappreciated ingredient.
Yeah, and I think that they seem intimidating with like that papery husk.
Yeah,
and
but man, I served these for dinner last night. These green chili, I call them green chili enchiladas, but they're really more tomatillo than chili.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was like, what did you put in here that they have like, this like round, full flavor? And I said, I impregnated them with tomatillo. But like tomatillos,
like,
they have...
That explains the roundness.
Yes, they have this incredible, kind of... it's kind of a sticky texture. What? How would you say? Sticky is not the right word. That's not appetizing.
You mean the outside?
No, I mean that like when you cook with them, they've got a viscosity to them.
I was going to say that there's like this shiny viscosity to them.
Yes. And so that means they like coat your tongue in a really nice way.
Gosh, I never thought about that.
And in addition to that, they've got this perfect balance of tartness and fruitiness. Like they're an incredible ingredient. Like anything you put tomatillos in, I will eat the shit out of it, even if it's like tuna needle cat or
tuna
needle casserole, the Ooh. Most dangerous casserole.
Anyway,
do you hear the old urban legend about the kid who got a needle in their tuna needle casserole? Dumb.
I think so. In general, I am drawn to green sauces over red sauces.
This is why my mom told me not to accept tuna on Halloween. Please continue.
Anyway, I tend to be drawn to green sauces, I think, because I like the bright acidity of a green sauce.
Now, having said that, I also love red enchiladas. I think I didn't realize how much I loved enchiladas until we got into this.
Do you have a recipe for red enchiladas as well?
Yeah, we're gonna print recipes for...
Recipes out the wazoo?
You know what? And we haven't even gotten into another one that I make. We're going to have like three enchilada recipes.
Are you serious?
This is going to be the most recipe-centric episode possibly that we've ever done.
Oh my gosh. So what's the third one?
So, okay, well, let's talk about the red first.
Okay.
So
What makes it red? Is it chilies or tomato?
It's both. So you make a sauce with toasted ground dried chilies and tomato.
You're so fancy.
I'm so fancy. Like, I'll toast them. I'll grind them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of, if I'm going to impregnate some tortillas, there's going to be a lot of grinding.
You're going to warm it up.
I'm going to warm it up.
Yeah.
First, there's going to be a lot of grinding.
Yeah. Go on.
And
tuna needle gas.
So you make, compared to the green, yes. Compared to the green sauce, it's smooth. I'm trying to have a cooking show here.
Okay, go on.
you make a pretty smooth red sauce, and like you can buy red enchilada sauce in a can and it's not that bad, but homemade is not hard and it's much better. So I'll use like a can of, you know, tomato sauce and just add some toasted ground dried chilies, and that's your red enchilada sauce. I think chicken is a great enchilada filling.
Cool. I feel like chicken enchiladas are sort of like the enchilada that we all think of.
Yeah, but I mean, cheese enchiladas are great too. Like, I don't know. Enchiladas are so good.
Oh, they're so good. So what about this third type?
Okay. You ready for this?
You just kind of like did what June sometimes does when she's telling a secret. She puts her hand up to her mouth as though she's going to like shield her mouth so you can't see what she's saying.
What?
But instead, she just puts her hand up like this, like she's making a duck bill next to her face and then speaks at normal volume.
Wait.
Mommy, I'm telling you a secret.
Can you give me an example of what she considers a secret? This is
like
a four-year-old.
Like, if she picks out a present for her dad at the grocery store, and she'll be like, let's not tell daddy.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And he'll be like right across the room. But she's making her cupping thing with her hand, and therefore no one else can hear what she's saying.
Has she ever like come up to you and like cupped her hand like that and said, Mommy, I killed a man? Next time I babysit her, I'm going to teach her to do that. Let's see. It would have been funnier if I had not told you that just now. So we'll edit that out of your brain.
Of my brain. Perfect. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for the secret?
I'm ready.
Okay. Stacked enchiladas.
Whoa. Is this like a stacked Ritz-Witch?
It is every bit as sexy and smooth and supple.
Oh, man. Those enchiladas are stacked.
Okay. Here's what I do. And the idea for this recipe came from a long defunct restaurant in Seattle that I really liked called Barbacoa in Queen Anne. I'm sure we've got a listener who remembers the place. And so you put some cowboy beans at the bottom of a bowl, like a soup plate kind of.
Okay.
Cowboy beans, you know, beans cooked with bacon and fire roasted tomatoes and whatever. Then you layer some warmed or lightly fried tortillas and chicken and cheese and green enchilada sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a stack. So you're not rolling them. It's not rolled at all. And yet it's still enchiladas.
Okay.
And then when you reach the top of the soup plate, you put a thick layer of cheese like all the way out onto the rim of the bowl and then broil it. So you got this crunchy cheese around the edge. You've got...
And it's individual portions.
And it's individual portions.
This is so classy.
Oh, yeah. It's not, because it's gutsy. You know,
sexy.
You're going to get messy.
It asks for what it wants.
That's
and it
right.
gets it.
Yes. And what it wants is...
For you to eat it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I always comply.
Is cool.
So I'll include that recipe, too. It's a real, like, all-day kind of project, but it's worth it. You got to make the beans. You can fry a bunch of tortillas. You got to make the sauce. I usually buy one of those rotisserie chickens and shred it.
Is that what you did for the chicken enchiladas we had today?
For this one, I cooked some chicken thighs and then like simmered them in the sauce for a little more flavor. I regret so much that I just said that.
Wow. Hey, everybody. It's time to talk about my bra again.
Now, I understand you've been doing these ads without me.
Yeah.
Like, I just learned this.
Yeah. And it feels
How
more intimate that way.
You?
The listeners and I, we're really getting to know each other, Matthew. So they will not be surprised to hear that I am wearing my Third Love 24/7 t-shirt bra today.
Molly is like tapping her chest to make sure it's still there.
Probing myself.
Uh-huh.
These bras were developed using thousands of real women's measurements, and it's so cool. They even have half cup sizes.
Yep.
It's kind of awesome. I mean, I don't wear a half cup size, but maybe I should.
I don't know. You could certainly try.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they stand behind their product so much that they are going to give our listeners a bra from their 24/7 collection to try for free. You just pay $2.99 for shipping. You wear it. You wash it. After 30 days, if you don't like it, you send it back and they charge you nothing. If you like it, you keep it. They charge you. It's great.
Oh, it is so great. So go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started today. We'll be posting these recipes.
Uh-huh.
So many
at recipes. At our new website, flav.com, which is our Flavor Flav fan website and also where we put our recipes.
Anyway.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Anyway, yeah. So we'll be posting that at our website, which is actually spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Thank you. I was going to just blow by and not mention it.
Yeah. And then you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about enchilada sauce. You know,
I don't even know what you're talking. Is that Swiss enchiladas?
It's Swiss enchiladas, but it has nothing to do with Switzerland. It's just
are
like
they blintzes.
No,
blintzes
are from Switzerland. I mean, although now that you say, like
wait,
imagine myself like in
from?
A ski shell, like Eastern Europe.
That's close to Switzerland.
I mean, it's east of Switzerland, indeed.
Isn't that a movie, East of Switzerland?
Yes, it's like Rochelle. Never mind.
Okay. All right. What else do we
it's
need
like
to
a,
tell
It's
them?
A sexy romp. That's what I was trying to say. East of Switzerland.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. What else do we need to say? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's like this show is sharper than a tuna needle casserole.
Make some enchiladas. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Which we already said what that was, right?
Yeah,
okay.
We did.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, you know, the show that's like stacked and impregnated and all kinds of other things we said.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Yo. I suppose we could get started.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.